Well, good morning to you and a happy Christmas. It's a privilege to be able to be with you and be with the family. Let's just pray. Dear Father, as we come now to hear something of your word, we do pray that you will help us to learn more of you and the fact that you came at this time, we remember. And you came to save us and to keep us. Thank you for your loving presence now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, storytelling is a very important way of passing on information in so many different cultures. I've had the privilege of working in many different cultures and storytelling has been all over the place. And this is often used in a church services by a preacher and it will help us today. Church services in places like in Africa where I've had the privilege of speaking often go for 3 to 5 hours, but I won't be doing that this morning. In response to the idea of storytelling, a few years ago, when I was on what we called a walkabout short-term mission trip with the mission that I've been with for so many years, Global Recordings, we used to take groups of people who were interested to get an exposure to what mission was about on a walkabout mission trip for a few weeks to another country. And I was in Peru with a team of people from Australia and we were visiting in a village called Pampamichi. Now, this village was on a tourist route, and so there were often people from other countries visiting this place and staying there as they were welcomed by the village people. The night that our group stayed at the invitation of the villagers, another group stayed that night. And in the morning, our group gathered together to have our devotions outside the house where we were staying, as we normally did. And the leader of the other group who was there for the night, he came out and he came up to us and said, "Are you Christians?" As the leader of the group, I said, "Yes, we are." And then he said, "I've not been reading my Bible for a long time and I'm missing fellowship. Can I join you?" "Well, of course, sit down." So he joined us. After the devotion period, he came up to me and we were just together ourselves. And he said, "My name is Alexander." Well, surprise, surprise, that's my name too. "I'm from Spain. I've studied 7 years to be a priest in Valparaiso, but I left before I finished. And I'm here working in Lima at the Catholic Mission, a relief agency among slum dwellers and amongst children." Then I asked him, "What are you teaching the children?" And he replied, "Well, I'm teaching them some education, some games, good ways to live." I then asked him, "Are you telling them about Jesus?" "No, no, no, I'm not telling them about Jesus. My response was, "What? You have studied for 7 years for the priesthood about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not telling the children about him? The most important thing that they need to know? Have you asked Jesus into your life?" At this he began to cry and say, "No, I have not." My next question to him was, "Would you like to ask him into your life right now?" And in his tears he said, "Yes, I would." So with tears streaming down his face, he prayed a prayer of confession and asked Jesus to come into his life. Now, I find this amazing that God should take me, an Australian, all the way to Peru, and a Spaniard all the way from Spain, and bring us together in some little remote village in the jungles of Peru, that he could come to faith in Jesus Christ. God can do amazing things if a person, when they are available to him. In mission work, using the storytelling method often involves someone telling a Bible passage in a story form and someone else repeating the story. Then there are questions which open up discussion. Now, we don't have time to learn and have a discussion together, but these are the sort of questions which would be often asked. What do we learn about God? What do we learn about man? What do we like about the story? What do we not like about the story? And what can I apply from the story to my life? Well, the first question, what can we learn about God? Well, from this section, what I learned about God from this was the encounter with Alexander about God was, God gives grace to help in our time of need, as we read in Hebrews 4:16. God gives joy. And God gives compassion. That God has a plan for our lives. And he desires that people give themselves to him. In God's grace, he gave Jesus Christ. He was once rich and becoming to live amongst us became poor. And he gave himself that we might become rich also. The next question was, what can we learn about people? And what I learned from this encounter about people were these things. We experience trials. We can experience poverty. And as Christians, we want to share, to serve, and to be significant for God in our lives. Now, the experience of the Macedonians that we read can be something that we can experience. And recently, there have been some bad bushfires on the TV that you've seen in New South Wales. And some people went from prosperity to poverty, as it were, in minutes, as their properties were destroyed by the bushfires. Now, I heard of a story of a group of farmers on a previous occasion from a church in Finlay, and they gathered materials together and went to Victoria for a week to help the farmers who had lost everything there. And these Finlay farmers had been suffering themselves from drought, and some of them had also suffered from bushfires. a group of Victorian farmers had gone to give them some practical help in their time of need. Well, it turned out on this occasion that one of the Finlay farmers found himself helping a farmer in Victoria, in Marysville area, who had given time to go and help the farmers in New South Wales. The farmer from Findlay was the very farmer he had helped. Now that farmer, who was still recovering from his losses, was helping as he was able. Now this is an example of what the Macedonians begging Paul to allow them the privilege to give out of their poverty to help those in need in Jerusalem. In the reading, we see Paul informs the Corinthian church of the need of the Christians in Jerusalem. They were quick to respond and wanted to get involved and made a commitment to do so. And now Paul is saying, well, that's good, but you did not follow through with what you said. You started well, but you need to be good finishers. You need stickability, as it were. So our next question is, what do we like about this story? And this is what I liked as I read the account in Matthew in chapter 8. Paul found God, in God's grace, active in the life of the Macedonians. They did not want to be left out of the opportunity to serve God and other people. They first committed themselves to God, and then they committed themselves to the ministry. There was equality, as it were. That doesn't mean equality in everyone having the same thing. It's a different idea of equality, the privilege of giving and being able to give, not just money, but time and the ability to be involved. I think of a time when I was in India. Some money which was being sent to us ended up being sent to a bank in Lusaka, Zambia, not the bank in Bangalore, India. Now we were running out of money to buy food. One of my Indian colleagues learned of our situation and he came to me and handed me some money. And at first I said, no, it's okay. Being a good self-appointed Australian. But my colleague looked at me and said this, I'm very disappointed that you are not allowing me to have the privilege of giving. I'm very disappointed that you, just from the West, think that God gives grace to help you, but he gives also grace to help us a lot as well. Well, I felt like a child who'd been punished when he spoke to me like that. And I accepted the gift which he was giving, for which really I was very thankful, because we were down to our last few paisa, as it were, and we needed to get some food. So I was thankful to the Lord for the lesson that I learned, and encouraged to allow others to know the grace of giving from God as well. Not only money, but of themselves to God in service to him. The next question says, what did we not like about this encounter of Paul with the Corinthians? Perhaps for you, living the Christian life is a challenge and hard to handle. Well, I'll leave you to think about that for yourself. But what can we learn from this encounter? And this is what I learned as I went through this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That I should be ready, like Paul, to allow others, even in their trials and poverty, to have the privilege of serving. That this serving may be in giving, or it may also be involved in practical involvement. It's also important to first give myself to God, and then I will be in a better position and an attitude of mind to give myself to serve others in whatever capacity God wants. I also learned that it's important to finish what I started. It's been a privilege to serve the Lord in mission for me for around 50 years, both overseas and here in Australia. And I'm thankful that the church that I attend in Sydney has had an overseas mission focus. Equally important, the church has a focus on mission and ministry within Australia. There are people from our church who have been workers in Christian holiday beach missions. The church is supporting full-time Christian workers in some churches and community schools where some people from the church are going each week when they have opportunity to share and talk with the students. For many Christians, their involvement with mission is helping by giving money. And that's very important. But in this account of Paul with the Corinthians, it's easy for us to get the impression that all that Paul was referring to. Paul, I think, is actually saying to the Corinthians and to us to get more involved in what God is doing than just giving money. The Macedonian Christians gave the example of their availability. They first of all gave themselves to God, and in giving themselves to God, they were then in a condition to give themselves to the privilege of serving God in mission and keeping God's will. A question for us is, have we given ourselves to God? And are we in a condition where he can direct us to serve him in the ministry he would like us to be involved in? Some people I've spoken to at times have said they might be half-timers, as it were. They've worked for a number of years, had a good life, and just got everything on track. Marriage has been going well and nearing retirement, they've been wondering what to do next. And they feel that they'd like to do something for God, to use their skills in God's service, as it were. And in one respect, I might say half-timers. Well, if we think of a football match, at halftime, the coach has a pep talk to try and encourage the players to get on and do a better second half. Now, some time ago, as I was watching on television, the Australian Socceroos played Uzbekistan in a qualifying match, which they ended up actually winning. After the match, the coach said to the that in the halftime, the team had, until halftime, the team had not been playing so well. But after the halftime break, They returned to the pitch with renewed vigour and determination. The coach had spoken to them and they ended up winning the game. Well, perhaps we can ask ourselves as Christians, what am I going to do to make the rest of my life count for God? Perhaps God is challenging you and me in serving him in mission and church. We can make a commitment to God today, like the Corinthians did, and they heard the need of Christians in Jerusalem. Their problem was that they made a commitment, but they did not follow through. We should consider responding to God as Christians and making ourselves available to him, to serve him in mission, be available to him each day in whatever capacity he has planned for us, that we might here in Australia, or whether it be in the uttermost parts of the world. I don't know whether you've heard of the need for some graphic artists in mission work. In other missions, there are need for people with IT skills. Perhaps you can join in prayer for these people that are needed. Perhaps studying music or ethnomusicologist in mission. A young woman that I met at one point not too long ago, she was doing a master's in music composition and was considering going on to do a PhD at the university. But she felt God had a plan for her life. And as we talked, she said, "I feel that God would have me go to Nairobi in Kenya to establish a music academy, and in order to help the children in slum areas that they can learn music, but at the same time they can learn about Jesus." So following the Lord's leading, he used her and she went over there. Now we can give ourselves to God in preparing ourselves and serving him in one way or another, that he wants us to serve him. When we make ourselves available to God, we will be in a condition and have a right heart attitude that God will be able to use us no matter what our situation or what our condition. Missions starts with you and me in our church being available to God. It spreads as we are obedient to God's word and obedient to the prompting of his spirit in our lives. Perhaps if God is causing you to think, maybe there's something that I can be doing that could help people by not just giving money, well, you can talk with us, Victor and myself. But one thing I would suggest, don't put off today what you think might be able to do tomorrow. What's that saying? Tomorrow never comes. Well, it's fitting for us to think about Paul's challenge to the Corinthians and to get on with the finishing what he has started to do. To excel in giving, not just our money, but ourselves, so that we might be first in the place and ready to give a reason for the hope that we have as his servants. Paul said to the Corinthians, "You excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, in love, but see that you also excel in the grace of giving." Now reading verse 12 says this, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." I'll quote that again. It is not our ability that counts. It's our availability. And then God is able to use our ability. Let me pray. Dear Father, we want to say thank you for this word to us and help us to be willing and ready to be available to you, so that you might help us to grow in our relationship with you, and that we might be in a place where we can be your servants in the place of your appointment. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.